Good morning. It's Thursday, 25th of February. Our New Testament reading today is 1 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. I'm going to read to you from Brother Michael Ashton's book, The Challenge of Corinthians. In this section, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the question of meat that has been offered to idols. I read, "Social life in the city centred on the idols' temples. Archaeological evidence points to the existence of a consistent pattern. One excavated temple had three terraces. The lower one contained eating facilities. The middle one comprised a theatre. And the highest level was where the idols and images were displayed. Worship in idols' temples involved the sating of many fleshly desires and did not normally comprise the formal and structured services we associate with the word today. Entertainment and feasting were intrinsic parts of idol worship. Those who attended brought their votive offerings and then joined in many different activities. Immorality in many forms prospered in the temple precincts, and male and female prostitutes abounded. Food offered to idols was divided into three portions. Some was consumed by fire on the altar. Another portion was for the priest, and the remainder went to the offerer and was usually eaten in one of the dining rooms associated with the temple. Thus, any social meal in the city was likely to be eaten in the temple courts, and the food was identified specifically with idol worship. The difficulty this created for new converts to Christianity was immense. If they separated themselves completely from everything that was linked to idolatry, their normal daily life would be turned upside down. Regular business was conducted over meals in temple dining rooms. All social gatherings were held there. Invitations to friends and relatives were extended in the name of the deity at whose temple the function was being held. It was a serious and extremely difficult problem, and they sought guidance from the apostle about it. But it seems as though their approach was strongly influenced by the two opposing groups. We all have knowledge, was the opening line, chapter 8, verse 1. And that knowledge led one group to the view that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. The conclusion was therefore simple. If there are no such things as idols, and if the images in the temples have no status because there is only one God, there can be no harm in eating in idols' temples. This is a classic case of self-justification, and it was immediately destroyed by Paul's reply. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. J.B. Phillips' paraphrase of this is very graphic, and it captures the sense perfectly. We should remember that while knowledge may make a man look big, it is only love that can make him grow to his full stature. Knowledge leads quickly to arrogance and pride. Both of these are qualities that elevate human thinking. Love, because it involves self-sacrifice and abasement, elevates God and his ways. This was a stinging rebuke for the group in Corinth who were claiming the right to continue their full social life in the city. What is more, the view promoted by this first group took no account of the effect their actions might have on fellow believers. Once again, this is the difference between pride and love. Pride is a selfish attribute. Love suffers long and is not puffed up. There are several things in this epistle which seem to be rooted in the practices of the day, but that does not mean that the discourse about them has nothing to do with our lives in the 21st century. These things were written for our learning, our edification, and our eternal salvation. Thank you for listening.